Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, right here on Revolution Radio, the 6th day of December, 2023, where I'm delighted to have my guest today, Keith Rogers. I have two blocks of stories I want to present, get Keith's take on it. One has to do with understanding why we've been undergoing this crisis at our southern border with millions pouring across. I think now we see what's going on. Illinois Senator Dick Durbin has proposed U.S. citizenship for illegal immigrants through military service. In other words, they come in, we put them in our military, and when they serve the United States in that capacity, they are going to be granted U.S. citizenship. Now, there are multiple benefits to this for the Biden administration, including, because of its woke agenda, none of the services have been able to meet their recruiting quotas. None. I mean, who the hell wants a shower with a tranny? Who wants to have a pink tank? I mean, this is enough to, it's revolting. So none of the services are making their number. Number two, they know that Americans are not going to be willing to fire on Americans. So what do? You stash our military with a whole bunch of foreigners. They don't give an shit about Americans. They'll be just as glad to fire on Americans. There's more to it, too, because it appears now the Democrats are registering these illegal immigrants to vote when they come across, and a local sheriff reveals that every illegal is being given a $5,000 gift card. Now, here's a report about it. Let's pick up on this as soon as I get the pass.
Why are military-age men pouring across the United States border, being given refuge, given cell phones, given ID cards, given money, being taken care of? Why is this happening in the United States? And the Biden administration pretends that it's not happening, but we have the footage. Take a look at your screen. Of course, these are multiple reports now of military-age men pouring across the United States border, and it seems like mostly from China. So there's been a great mystery over the past year. Why are they doing this? Why are they arriving? If you're fleeing a war zone, you, of course, show up with your children, your women, your wives, right? These are people that you are saving, the families that you are bringing and trying to find a better life for. But no, there's no children. There's no wives. There's no women. It's just men. Well, at least until yesterday, we could speculate, we had some idea why this was happening, but on the floor of the United States Senate, Senator Dick Durbin has now let the cat out of the bag and explains exactly why this is happening.
What troubles me about the debate now about the southern border is it is one half of the immigration equation. Yes, we need order at the border. Yes, we need to have changes in the laws that reflect the reality of the overwhelming numbers from all over the world who are coming to our shores and our border. But there's also an incredible demand for legal immigration into this country even now. The presiding officer, my colleague from the state of Illinois, has legislation which addresses one aspect of that. Her bill, and I hope I describe it accurately, says that if you're an undocumented person in this country and you can pass the physical and the required test, background test, the like, you can serve in our military, and if you do it honorably, we will make you citizens of the United States. Do we need that? You know what the recruiting numbers are at the Army and the Navy and the Air Force? They can't reach their quotas each month. They can't find enough people to join our military forces. And there are those who are undocumented who want the chance to serve and risk their lives for this country. Should we give them the chance? I think we should. Let me tell you about...
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. It seems like we have an answer to the great mystery now, why this is happening. Someone who's been tracking these military-age men coming across the border is Anthony Rubin from Muckraker.com. He's been doing amazing reporting on this, deep into the jungles. He's been tracking this from through South America, from Ecuador, tracking these migrants all the way up to the United States border, and so much more that we could talk about. Anthony, welcome back to the show. Good to see you.
Thank you so much for having me on, Clayton. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. It's great to have you back. Specifically today, we could talk about so much of your travels, and we'll have you back, and we can talk more about what you saw in Ecuador and other parts south of the border. But today, I specifically wanted to focus on this military-age men Chinese story. So you've seen the videos at the border, of course. You've seen your reporting. You saw Senator Dick Durbin there basically confirming why they're coming across. What did you discover and uncover in your travels as you were tracking these individuals?
Yeah, absolutely. So as it relates to the Chinese, I mean, as you said, we talk about so much of this. I mean, this crisis is extremely complex. But as it relates to the Chinese
the Chinese have
established dedicated networks along their route all the way to the United States. And so what we discovered along our trip from Ecuador all the way to the United States border are dedicated hotels, basically dedicated hubs where these Chinese illegal aliens stop at. And, you know, it's like known along their route that you will stop at these specific hotels. One of the ones that we stopped at was this hotel in Pasto, Colombia. And we just stumbled upon it by accident. It happened to be near an airport there. And we showed up, and we were the only people that were staying at that hotel that were not Chinese. And all of them, every single one of them, was headed to the United States. They were either going to be continuing and crossing through the Darien Gap, or if they had the appropriate visa, they were going to be flying directly into Mexico and then crossing up there. But the point is that, you know, whereas, you know, for example, the Venezuelans, as an example, they are extremely poor. They just kind of trek up on foot. They'll pitch tents along the way. Stuff like that. The Chinese have dedicated hubs, hotels that they'll actually stay at along the way, and it's a very advanced route system.
Meet your new favorite knife
in the kitchen,
Milk Street Nakiri.
The Milk Street Nakiri.
The Milk Street Nakiri. See
if I can get us past.
I love this.
So it's an advanced route system structured by whom? Who's setting this route system up? Is it the United States? Is it NGOs? Is it the Chinese government?
As far as I know, it's done by Chinese for Chinese. I mean, I don't have any evidence. You know, we know that the United Nations footprint is all over this route to the United States. But as far as these hubs go, you know, there is no evidence that I have to indicate that it's run by the United States or the United Nations. It appears to be just by Chinese for Chinese. You know, you had me on this past summer. We discussed a blueprint that I was giving by a Chinese illegal alien. That's how we actually, you know, followed this route. We just followed that same blueprint. And everybody, I saw the comments on your show after you published it. They thought I was lying to you, that I was some sort of conspiracy theorist. And now we've actually followed the route. I mean, now I have all the evidence. And so one of the stops on that route was in Pasto. So we stopped at this hotel, and sure enough, it's just full of Chinese. So the point is, if we go back to that document was just written by a Chinese person, could be CCP affiliated. I have no idea. I can't confirm that. But, you know, is the CCP, for example, involved in this? I would find it hard to believe that they are not. Let's put it that way.
So a targeted strategic invasion. And then it's odd then, of course, then why is the United States government, if this is a targeted, willing invasion of the United States? You hear Senator Dick Durbin on the floor of Congress saying the reason, you know, we need military age men coming across, they will be given citizenship. They will be given, you know, they'll fight in the military. They'll be given citizenship. And if their backgrounds check out, he kind of just said that as an aside. Oh, if their backgrounds check out, he just kind of made that as like a little sidebar. Like, we'll probably check them, I suppose. But they'll be brought into the United States military to fight on our behalf because U.S. military recruitment numbers are down. So the U.S. military would be using Chinese Communist Party military-aged men to fight on the United States' behalf? Like, something is incredibly fishy here.
Right. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that is probably the only way that they can actually amass enough manpower to drag us into another decade-long endless war. If we could even afford that, if the U.S. dollar doesn't collapse before that, I mean, that's a different story. But any patriotic American that has a good head between his shoulders knows that all these wars at this point are total nonsense. Everybody's waking up to the BS that is these endless wars throughout the world. Now it's the Ukraine and Israel. Nothing to do with American sovereignty or security. And the only way that they're going to be able to get enough manpower is to get these people and, you know, ship them over there and guarantee them citizenship. And I believe that that's the game plan. And then, you know, you'll give these people citizenship, however many millions of them, and, you know, many more on the way. And it will just wash out all the homegrown Americans. That's what this is. This is replacement migration. It should be extremely evident at this point.
Well, I think this guy is very sincere, but I think he's missed the point. We're turning the American military over to the Chinese. I now suspect very strongly that Biden has made agreements with Xi to essentially allow China to take control of the United States. Remember, China's got a problem. It had this one child per family policy, and because males are preferred over females, they've got a massive excess of young, healthy males in China. So what better way to dispose of your problem domestically than to send them over to the United States, put them in the military, and enable China to take control of our military? I think this is a treasonous arrangement between the non-Biden. Remember, the Biden's only a puppet. They needed a guy who was a nothing burger so they could pull the strings behind the scene and do any damn thing they wanted. No actual living president would willingly cooperate in the destruction of the United States. So they got a non-president who's a total puppet. Keith, I want to get your thoughts on this because I see this as the greatest act of treason in the history of the United States. Your thoughts?
All right. Well, good morning, everyone. It is, but again, I think there's more nefarious means going on here, and I'll tell you why. I've studied the CIA for a long, long time. They're in the covert world and what's going on. So I'll start with your last thing. Trump ended the UNFPA, which was the U.S. support of the UNFPA, which in its own documents it says, as the PRI article states, more children were aborted under the one-child policy than the entire population of the United States. Add that to the regular 46 million that are being aborted. No one talks about the abortions when we talk about the Gaza and stuff like that, of the hundreds of millions of children being aborted. But anyway, Trump stopped that to his credit there. And if you do some research, you'll find out that China has recently upped its one-child policy to 3. And that's because China has an aging population like that, just like here in America, except that the young kids here don't want to work. They want to sit there in their basements playing video games and having sex, you know. And I hate to say it that way, but they're not even counted in the jobs market anymore because they quit looking. And I've mentioned to you on email there that Josh Hawley just talked to Mayorkas there. And, of course, Mayorkas always obfuscates everything like that. He won't answer nothing like that. But the fact is that since Americans aren't looking for work, Josh Hawley brought up in the conversation that a lot of these children and stuff that are companies, these so-called immigrants, which are disappearing, I think the last one was 150,000. But anyway, Josh Hawley had talked about over 200,000 working in the U.S., you call them sweatshops or whatever like that. And, of course, he asked about, are people being fined for this, which is $15,000 per incident. And, of course, you could answer that yourself by saying no. Now, let's get back to Venezuela and stuff like that. Venezuela, the United States had recently brokered a deal to cut the sanctions on Venezuela. And in return, Venezuela is now, as I mentioned on email there, they've made a deal with the United States to accept over 400,000 Venezuelans. And they're getting their citizenship, all this stuff like that. And a lot of this is due also to the outbreak of a possible war there between Venezuela and Guyana. And this is because the United States has issued oil drilling permits to Chevron down there, which is just outside of Guyana there. Remember, Venezuela has one of the proven world's oil fields, which is roughly 18% of the world's oil. And, of course, this to me it sounds more like a Kuwaiti deal of slant drilling trying to get into Venezuela's oil, and Venezuela is trying to protect its resources, being called there. And, of course, this is after that failed coup to install Juan Guaido down there. However, these drilling permits and stuff is causing friction between Venezuela and Guyana. And a lot of young kids live there. And again, I'm not saying this in defense of Venezuela or Guyana, but I'm saying in defense of demographics, because Guyana, Venezuela have large populations of Chinese. And I can find you an article here in just a second here, if I can find the stupid thing here. Got too many screens. Oh, here we go. Okay. Chinese Venezuelans. This is from Wikipedia. There's over 400,000 Chinese in Venezuela. So when you see these Chinese coming up from Venezuela, well, that's exactly where they're coming from, Venezuela. If you look at demographics of Guyana, it's the same thing. Thousands of Chinese are in there. And again, this is all the slave labor market down through there. And there wasn't there was an issue here not too long ago in Australia, where a lot of these immigrants from China were going down to Australia to work in these chicken factories and stuff, and they were promised like $25 an hour, and they weren't paid that. It was paid like $8, $9 an hour, and whenever they would complain, they would deport them back out of the country again and just wait for the new immigrants. So we're seeing the Chinese moving all over the planet and stuff, and I don't think it's nefarious in that portion of the and as I mentioned to you on email, I've seen three videos of these so-called Chinese. They're not young. The Hispanics are. But the Chinese, if you actually look at the videos and stuff, these are elderly. They're a little chubby and stuff, you know, bald heads. I don't think it's that nefarious. What I do know, though, is that a lot of this stuff is being caused from the U.S. corporations that refuse to hire Americans at a decent wage, I should say. Remember, these are the same corporations that sold out America. You can Google this. There's 350 U.S. businesses over in China right now. And, of course, they're the same ones that fired American workers who years ago we had our 40 hours a week, paid health care, overtime, sick leave, pregnancy leave, and a paid two-week vacation. And, of course, the CIA for years has been involved in union busting, just like you mentioned earlier with Colombia and stuff. Wherever the worst human rights violations are, like Colombia, well, the U.S. and NATO are down there. And in Colombia, in the last couple decades here, over 2,000 civil rights leaders, as well as union leaders, have been assassinated.
Keith, let me just emphasize what I think is going on here. It appears that this all seems to me confirmation of my surmise based on a lot of research that Trump in 2020 actually won overwhelmingly over 100 million votes, Biden 37, that the Democrats are panic-stricken. They'll never win another election again. They know Trump supporters tend to be rock solid. They're not affected by any of these efforts to tarnish his reputation, to assassinate his character, by all these lawsuits, for example, by the phony incitement to insurrection. There was no insurrection. There was no incitement. The list goes on and on and on. I think they are, therefore, resorting to the rather drastic strategy of changing the demographics of America to get more voters for Democrats. because otherwise they'll never win another election. And, of course, they can't win any election if they don't cheat anyway, but they're trying to create a circumstance under which they'll at least have more apparent popular support and allowing China to take control of our military. I mean, so the Chinese don't have to carry out an external invasion of America. It's all being done internally. I mean, the sheriff having proof every illegal is being given $5,000 gift card. We know they're all being put on a dole for $2,200 a month. They're being given food. They're being given shelter. They're being given green cards. Keith, I see this as a major threat to America. If you have some old Venezuelans who are deserving, that's a whole nother matter. I think there's a major threat here, separate and apart from that question. Your thoughts?
Well, we can go back to another one here. There's another issue working here, Jim, that a lot of people don't see. If you remember the Bank of International Settlements, the vaccine passports were indistinguishable from the digital passports. And one way is to get Americans to scream like hell to shut the border, shut the border. And as I brought up to you before, this is where this new UN biometrics deal comes in. And I'll just read you a small thing here. It says anyone types of these biometric information can be allowed for border security guards to make rapid and precise one-on-one authentication of one-to-many verification identity checks. In simple terms, one-to-one check determines whether a person is who he claims to be, such as when a signature is compared to a legal document. And this goes on here, but it talks about how many people have taken part in this stuff here. 8 out of 10. And this is to get everyone in this biometric stuff. And, of course, why all of a sudden would, when the U.S. dollar is just about ready to collapse, are they suddenly concerned not about Ukraine, holding off Israel, to worry about the U.S. border finally? Well, of course, you can go in at like that video I'd mentioned there. He couldn't verify anything like that about the UN and stuff. But all you got to do is read the UN's forced immigration PDF file, and it tells you about by 2050, there's going to be 1 billion people here in the United States. And, of course, they're all going to be immigrants. And this goes along with Henry Kissinger's NSSM 200 about moving people from these LDCs, lower developed countries, out of the way, Africa and stuff like that. And this is why we see the tensions building up in Nigeria, cutting off oil and LNG gas to France, uranium, all this stuff. We're in a massive economical war here. And, of course, the way it works with anything before war is you have to demonize your enemy. And, of course, Redacted there with Clayton Moore's earlier video he just put out talked about China's gold. One guy commenting the fact that they have 10 times more than what they're saying, and China's about ready to switch to their gold-backed digital currency. Well, the U.S. can't compete with that with the fiat dollar, which is going south. And, of course, you have to demonize them. Now, everyone knows with China and with Taiwan, the one China policy, the U.S. accepts it, U.N. accepts it like that, but the U.S. on paper doesn't accept it. And this is where they say that they'll even blow up the IC chip plants and stuff like that to make sure that China doesn't get them and stuff. But, I mean, we're in an economic war here because the empire's collapsing. And they will do anything they can. And, of course, they need workers. A lot of these immigrants you're talking about, they don't care if they're building bombs or bullets. They just want work. It's the same with Americans. They don't care whether or not a bomb is dropped on a civilian or a baby over in Gaza. All they care about is they're gainfully employed. And this is
I think all that's great stuff. I'm asking you a very specific question. Am I right or wrong? This is an attempt to take over the American military, basically a cede to China, the opportunity to secure America for itself. Over and apart of all the other points you've been making here, it seemed to me we could not have a more direct form of treason in the history of the United States. That's the question I want you to address.
Okay, yes. Well, you got to remember, who's in charge of the Homeland Security? Mayorkas, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Mayorkas is a
Cuban-born Jew who is interested in promoting the interests of Israel. And if Israel wants to destroy the United States, and I have no doubt they do, I mean, Netanyahu has even said that America is a golden calf. We're going to suck it dry and cut it into parts and leave it as the world's biggest welfare state because that's what we do with nations we hate. This guy is not our ally. This guy is our mortal enemy. Americans have to understand that. They want to use and abuse the United States for their own benefit. So,
okay. So let me finish this off then. I'll read from this. This is from a Jewish newspaper. Until I saw the documentary The Revolutionary at the Philadelphia Independent Film Festival, I mistakenly thought that China during the revolutionary period was one country that had not felt the Jewish embrace. In fact, 85 to 90% of the foreigners helping the Chinese at the time of the communist takeover were Jewish. And this is from Forward.com, and it's called A Jew in Mao's China.
That's a Jewish magazine, Forward.
Yeah, okay. And yeah. We have the link, E. Michael Jones, and I could send the link here for Mitchell to play there. But remember the Jew that was caught trying to snuggle vials of whatever they were over to China, which was deeply involved with the Chinese military to the Wuhan lab? This was a takedown of America, and it's all done internally. Remember what they've always said. America would not be destroyed from without, from outside. It'd be destroyed from within. And then we have the article, Biden's Minion, and it lists all the Jews inside the Biden's administration. And as you mentioned, the Jews always curry to whatever they want. If it benefits Israel, benefits Ukraine, whatever like that, they go for that. They don't care about America, you know. Or Janet Yellen saying we can afford two wars. We can't afford two wars.
We're already broke. I mean, you know, by any reasonable standard, the United States has been bankrupt for decades. I mean, it's absolutely insane what's going on here. Keith, here we go. We're going to hit the break, and then I'm going to change the subject to what's going on in the Middle East. We'll be right back with Keith Rogers.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, the cluster of stories I want to focus on now concerns what's taking place between Hamas and Israel. Hamas is actually whipping them rather badly in actual combat. The Al-Qassim brigades have destroyed 28 Zionist vehicles. We're talking about tanks and armored personnel carriers during the past 24 hours. And, of course, as I previously reported, they've taken out over 100 Israeli tanks and armored personnel carriers. They've actually had to withdraw, I reported yesterday, from northern Gaza because they were being so soundly defeated by Hamas. Now, Colonel Douglas McGregor had predicted this was going to happen after the Israelis went about destroying all these buildings, creating these massive displays of rubble, mostly concrete, that would inhibit the movement of tracked vehicles and make them vulnerable to Hamas, which can maneuver to get up close and personal with their rocket-propelled grenades that have specially adapted heads that made them particularly effective against these vehicles, and then disappear into the rubble. So I predicted Israel had already committed a fatal mistake right from scratch, and he's proving to be exactly right. We'll get this, too. Tension in Israel. Ballistic missiles hit secret nuclear missile base in Tiberias. I'll come back to that. Israel now readying a risky plan to flood miles of Gaza's terror tunnel with seawater. They got five monster pumps, high-pressure water pumps to flood. But there are lots of risks attending this, including that it's going to contaminate all the water supply, the drinking water supply for Palestinians. And of course, you know, you drink salt water, you go crazy, you die. I mean, this is all part of the absolutely vicious, sadistic plans the Israelis are implementing. Here we have another story from Israeli Palestine News. Israel's strategy is cold and calculated and it lacks any sense of decency. Let me tell you what that tells me. I've done a huge amount on artificial intelligence and computer science. They're following a game plan that has been produced by an artificial intelligence machine, which has no mind, has no human feelings, has no empathy, has no sense of decency. They have programmed all the data they have about to have the machine calculate what is the most effective strategy to destroy their target. And it's one that reflects absolute ruthlessness, absolute lack of humanity, total indecency, no compassion whatsoever. Meanwhile, Netanyahu is accusing the entire world of anti-Semitism. Why? Because criticism of Israel for this genocide it's conducting right in front of the whole world that's reported, being reported about 24/7, and they now cut off communication because they don't want the world to see the brutality of the slaughter they're inflicting upon the Palestinian people. And he's calling that criticism of Israel, which could hardly be more well-founded, totally appropriate, legally, morally, politically. What Israel is doing is absolutely deserving a condemnation of the entire world. So, of course, Netanyahu is complaining about it. It's supposed to be anti-Semitism. Well, it ain't anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is to discount or disvalue a person in his opinion because he's Jewish. This has nothing to do with being Jewish. This has to do with the actions of the Israeli state. And now, get this, our compliant Congress, our House has passed a bill that states anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. In other words, they're constantly broadening this concept of anti-Semitism. I mean, it's a perfect conceptual philosophical issue, broadening the meaning of the word far beyond its original intent, so that, in essence, any criticism of Israel is now, they're going to make it by law a matter of anti-Semitism. A friend of mine once, who'd been involved in legal issues, once said to me, well, Jim, you know, there's the truth, and then there's the law. And what the law states isn't necessarily the truth. Here I want to share now a little bit about this ballistic missiles hitting nuclear missile sites in Tiberias. This is pretty significant. And of course, let me skip over. Here comes. Showing rockets being launched.
Forces aligned with the Palestinian resistance launched a surprise missile attack on an Israeli military base housing the country's secretive nuclear arsenal. Despite the site's protection by the much-touted Iron Dome missile defense system, the missiles breached the defenses and struck the base. We've made it our mission to provide updates often overlooked by mainstream media. Please like and share this video to raise awareness. Hit the subscribe button to stay informed with the latest from Palestine, brought to you round the clock by the OMT news team. This covert attack, previously undisclosed by Israel, showcases the Palestinian resistance's ability to inflict significant damage amid Israel's ongoing forceful approach to the Palestinian cause. Reports suggest enhancements in Palestinian rockets, granting them extended range and the capability to target Israel's concealed military facilities. OMT News analyzed satellite images of the site, relying on reports from certain U.S. news outlets. The images illustrate the striking contrast before and after the attack, revealing profound devastation. While Israel may not openly acknowledge this, the reality underscores its inability to entirely suppress the resistance. Hamas, the governing body in the Gaza Strip and a prominent adversary of Israel, notably augmented its rocket arsenal since Operation Pillar of Defense in 2012. Presently, Hamas possesses approximately 40,000 rockets, including advanced models like the M302, showcasing continual improvements over time. The emergence of long-range missiles, such as the AYYASH-250, designed and manufactured by Palestinian freedom fighters, poses a challenge to Israel. Claiming a range of 250 kilometers, these rockets signify a tangible threat to Israel's military sites across its territory. The rocket's name represents its range combined with the family name of Yahya Eyash, the engineer, one of the founders of Hamas's Ez Din al-Qassam brigades, who was eliminated by the IDF in 1996. During Operation Guardian of the Walls in May 2021, the Palestinian resistance unveiled this rocket. It fired a single rocket at Ramon Airport in southern Israel, approximately 220 kilometers from the Gaza Strip. The rocket exploded in an open area in Eilat and did not cause any damage. In the ongoing conflict, the Palestinian freedom fighters not only attempted to strike Eilat but also launched a rocket towards the north of Israel recently. The David's Sling aerial defense system intercepted the rocket, but its fragments scattered and started a fire at a waste incineration plant in the Haifa Bay area. It seems this might have been the same missile used to neutralize a nuclear base. A U.S. media report states that a rocket, most likely fired by the Palestinian Hamas resistance movement, from the Gaza Strip on October 7th, hit an Israeli military base where many of the regime's nuclear-capable missiles are kept, according to experts. The report mentions that although the Israeli missiles weren't hit in the rocket attack, its impact at the SDOT Misha base in central Israel sparked a fire that approached the regime's missile storage facilities and other sensitive weaponry. Additional satellite images taken in the hours after the strike captured the rapid spread of the fire and Israeli firefighters' efforts to control it.
Let me say, I'm just impressed. This particular video shows a lot of very sophisticated weaponry that Hezbollah and Hamas pizzazz. It impresses me tremendously. And you may recall yesterday I reported that Hezbollah has entered the fray and that Israel has now got its hands full with two different fronts. But I do not underestimate the brutality with which they are going to respond. Keith, your response, your thoughts to all of the above.
Okay, well, you're correct on the seawater. It's not just the drinking water, but it's the entire ground. It's to make it so that nothing grows there for the Palestinians to support themselves. I'd like to draw a conclusion here later on, though. I had mentioned to you that Hamas had sent a video message to the IDF in where it showed one of many of their so-called snipers walking just outside of a tent camp with their targeted scope beads on many different Israeli officers and stuff. This morning, it came out that indeed Hamas had attacked that same camp, and there's supposed to be at least 25 officers dead that was in that tank, tent encampment there. But they warned them like that, and apparently Israel did nothing to warn their so-called staffing there in the military there. But they're pretty vivid videos too. And again, like I say, they were sent to the IDF with a basic knock-knock in a kind of like a joke about how Israel used to do the knock-knock on the roofs there before they'd bomb someone there. But anyway, you know, Jim, I'm a realist, and I hate to see death of any kind. And this is no different when you're talking about, say, Hamas or even Yemen, the Houthis, targeting some nuclear plant, then watching Zelensky trying to target that, what is it, Zaporizhia, how you pronounce that, nuclear plant over there.
Zaporizhia nuclear plant.
So, it's economic terrorism, that's what it is. However, I'm a realist, and I see no difference whatsoever, and I'll tell you why.
Difference between what and what?
Well, let me ask you this. Who gave Israel the go-ahead to do what they're doing?
I'm sure we, the United States, did. You know, if you think of Bibi Netanyahu as our commander-in-chief, you get a better sense of what the hell we're doing here.
Well, remember the video you played on RBN where it talked about Bibi saying he needed to take out Iran, Libya, and all this? You remember that video?
Right.
Okay, so, well, let's go back a couple years, a couple decades. This is U.S. policy, and this is back to Iraq, Gulf War I. U.S. bombing hit 28 civilian hospitals, 52 community health centers. The Zebar Hospital in Basra province totally collapsed from bombing. The Rashid Mental Hospital southwest of Baghdad, ceilings collapsed on the patients' beds. This goes on and on. Allied bombs damaged 676 schools, 38 of which were totally destroyed. 8 of those hit were parts of universities, nor were mosques and other religious buildings and historic sites immune from U.S. attacks, though the Pentagon insisted that they were not targeting them. The report came out there that 25% of the mosque in Baghdad alone were hit. This goes on and on and on. A 900-year-old church, St. Thomas in Mosul. And, of course, this is all from Ramsey Clark. And it goes on to talk about how it hit all these government buildings. What we're seeing here in Gaza is just a repeat of what you would have seen in Iraq. And it's the same thing. You can Google images of raucous Syria. It looks like Dresden. You can Google images of Mosul, Iraq. It looks like Dresden. Gaza looks like Dresden. There should be moral outrage that this goes on, as well as the hundreds of billions of dollars where the United States, and I don't even believe this is by proxy, Medvedev, how do you pronounce his name there, has just said that he realizes that this is not a proxy war between the U.S. and Ukraine. It's basically the entire United States that basically they're just getting a pause right now to find funding to keep this war going. And this is why we're still seeing Germany and those guys still pumping money in there. They want to keep the war going. And it's total annihilation. And what gets me most about this, Jim, is if you look at U.S. war history, whether it's 1914 or say 41 or whatever like that, it seems like every time that you get up to an age bracket of where the enlistment age is 18 to 35, that you send those guys out to war, and then their children, just as they're coming up, is all part of the depopulation agenda. Then you send their children out. And, of course, you always leave the anger and stuff of their parents getting killed, and they've got a vengeance, and so they're willing to go out to war. And it's all under this fake democracy. You know, I am so sick and tired of hearing that, oh, they're fighting for our freedom and democracy. Well, if anyone realizes what the Vault 7 was about, the FBI, the spying, all this stuff going on in this country, the weaponization of the government against its own civilians, they're not fighting for our freedoms, and they're not fighting for this democracy. Look how crooked that is.
Yeah, I think we all agree with all the points you've been making, Keith. I wonder if there's a way. There apparently are five of these super high-pressure water pumps that they've got set up to flood the tunnels. Even at the mass volume they can pump out, they think it'll take a week to flood the whole thing. I think this is just awful that they would plan to do it, but I'm not surprised. I had contemplated dealing with these underground tunnels using gas. Apparently they've discarded that option because they can't control the flow of gas, and they're worried they might do some damage to themselves, I guess. But this is going to have havoc. As you say, is it going to contaminate the water supply? I mean, this is just a devastating action, but I don't see any reason in the world to put it past them.
There's more in that, Jim.
Go ahead.
There's the Hannibal directive, too, because that means that Israel is willing to drown fellow Israelis. And I don't like to use hostages because Bibi called this war. So these are prisoners of war. So yeah. Bibi is willing to drown fellow Jews to go after this alleged Hamas. And when I mentioned this earlier about Iraq, remember, what is the difference between a precision-guided missile and a precision-guided nuclear warhead? If they wanted to take out Saddam at any time, they could have. If they wanted to take out Assad, they could have with precision-guided munitions. And yet what they did is they destroyed the entire country. Does that make sense?
Well, I think the objectives were being run by Dick Cheney on behalf of Halliburton and Donald Rumsfeld, who denied, Afghanistan, because Iraq was a target-rich environment and Afghanistan wasn't. I mean, the whole thing was a truly corrupt administration where Cheney and Rumsfeld, were deeply involved in 9/11 along with Bibi to justify sending U.S. forces to the Middle East to take out the modern Arab state that served as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the entire region, where Paul Craig Roberts says what's going on now is to complete the job, because they began with Libya and Iraq, but they did not finish with Syria and Iran. That's on the agenda today, and I think they've got it right.
Well, yeah. Well, this is like in foreignpolicy.com. Where the CIA supplied all the WMD chemical weapons to Iraq. Remember, Saddam had worked as the CIA, or for the CIA, for years. U.S. supplied the gas to take out the Kurds, to take out thousands of Iranians. There's that one video on YouTube where it says the largest graveyard, and it's 5 million dead in Iraq, and that's only one of five. I mean, it's all part of this depopulation agenda. Anyone should know, just like the so-called vaccine, safe and effective. If this was all about saving lives, it would not be pumping hundreds of billions of dollars into a war machine to kill people.
Yes, of course.
Psychological warfare.
Yes.
And I believe another thing, Jim, is I'm sure you've seen the news about the so-called whistleblower in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Have you seen the one in UK? Have you seen the ones in China? And there's another Indonesian country now that is complaining about 375,000 excess deaths. What I'm seeing here is a massive cover-up or a distraction, Because we have out there Borla and those guys that all proud to get out there and say, who are the Jews behind the COVID vaccines? You know, I think this is a massive, either it's part of the genocide or depopulation agenda, or they're using this entire stuff to distract people from the massive amount of piling up, which I think I just saw, was it Ryan, Dr. Ryan Cole, admit that 17 million have died from these COVID vaccines already, and that doesn't count the disabilities and the long-term effects that that's going to be, and many of which aren't covered by insurance because they took an experimental vaccine. We have the myocarditis, of which most people diagnosed will probably die within 5 years. I mean, I think there's a massive cover-up here, and they're using wars to divert people from it.
Yeah, of course. Go ahead. Continue, Keith. Continue.
Right.
And
well,
because I know you had other issues you wanted to address, just go for it. You are my guest, my friend.
Well,
go for it.
Again, I'm into demographics. So whenever they talk about things, it's like, we're going to free Iran, so we're going to bomb 70 million people. I mean, you know, that's what Lindsey Graham would say, something like that. We're going to take out the oil fields. Well, there's retribution for that because Iran can close down the straits over there. We already have the Yemenis that are sitting there targeting vessels and stuff like that. And, of course, as I mentioned earlier, the U.S. has to branch out, so they lessen their sanctions on Venezuela. The oil deals that are – why is the United States issuing oil drilling permits outside of Venezuela? Shouldn't that be Venezuela or even Guyana that would issue those permits in their water, you know? Like I said, it sounds more like slant drilling to me. But the U.S. has to find oil. However, it seems like the fifth largest or the United States' fifth largest raw exports is oil. But yet Biden shut everything down here locally. He's going after coal. He's going after gas. He's going after oil. So are they purposely this gets back to your original question earlier about is this treason? Of course, they're killing the American economy. They're destroying the middle class. Right now, Jamie Dimon and all those guys, all the big bankers are warning about a massive recession coming. And, of course, Jerome Powell says millions more got to get terminated, laid off like that to reduce inflation, to reverse this supply versus demand. We had the 10,000 freighters that aren't being docked here and stuff like that because China's not sending their exports over. And, of course, the America, you know, they thrive on the tariffs and these import fees and stuff, you know. And then we have Americans now because of the economy, they're not buying. So this is a time of year where everyone's looking for these year-end profits for the corporations, that is, so these big CEOs get their millions of dollars in bonus pay, and that may not come. But they're actually getting ready to switch over to this new digital bank, central, you know, digital currency, and they have to cause a massive distraction. And while they're doing that, while we're all fixated on all these wars and stuff, these guys are still working behind the scenes, running their COP23, all this stuff of climate change. You know, none of that has abated.
Yeah, yeah. Continue.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I'm all for it. Yeah.
So again, if you look at demographics, and again, I'm not picking on anyone here. I'm just reading news. So and the one here, it says records documenting Israel's arms sales to Rwanda during the 1994 genocide will remain sealed and concealed from the public, and the Supreme Court has decided that this week. The IDF chief, that's from Times of Israel, by the way, IDF chief finally acknowledges that Israel supplied weapons to the Syrian rebels. That's from the Times of Israel. Also on Consortium News, you'll find out that the United States is the one that bought all those nice ISIS Toyota pickups. That was for the Free Syrian Army, which wound up in the hands of ISIS, of course. From Jerusalem Post that Israel was treating these Al-Qaeda fighters wounded in Syria's civil war. But again, today, Iran has filed a lawsuit of $50 billion. And I have to say this, Jim, Trump should pay $1 billion of that. But this is when they took out Soleimani. And if you listen to Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, Soleimani was a U.S. ally. He was fighting ISIS. And you can look at the articles where it says ISIS is a friend to Israel. ISIS apologizes to Israel. You know, these are supposed to be terrorist groups that the United States is fighting. And then we have all the photos from Business Insider that ISIS is using these I'm not in the military, but there are these types of missiles, as well as these night vision goggles and stuff. And of course, ISIS is over in Ukraine. These are all CIA front groups and stuff. And this is how the U.S. justifies its presence in the Middle East, that they're fighting terrorism and stuff. And they do all these front groups to overthrow governments. I mean, it's ridiculous. And once the Americans catch on to this, I mean, do you realize how many American boys, probably girls too, or also have died fighting these alleged groups and stuff like that? There was an article a while back here. I can find it for you if you'd like. But it talked about Russian snipers were killing U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan. This is a recent story, too. Well, it came out it wasn't. What it was is U.S. corporations were secretly paying the Taliban to keep the U.S. military away from their operations. And this was filed in Courthouse News. And they're alleging that well, I should probably get the article. I hate to misquote it. But anyway, but they're talking 2,000 U.S. soldiers that have died. And this was part up in the Anwar provinces and stuff like that, you know. What they will do to kill their own people. And then on top of that, Jim, remember, you had the Sackler family that agreed to pay $3.2 billion for the 400,000 opiate deaths in America. As long as no future, and now I hear this is back in the news again, but so that no future litigation comes upon that. But, you know, these are these big bank CEOs and stuff like that that finance all this stuff, and none of these guys ever go to jail. They just keep getting their stupid Keith, wave-offs.
Keith, stand by. We'll be right back with Keith Rogers after this break.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I'm very pleased to have Keith Rogers here as my guest today. Keith has been a host of radio shows himself for decades and has a whole lot to say about a wide range of issues. I just mentioned here that the fourth annual False Flag and Conspiracies Conference will be held the 16th and 17th December of 2023. This is free and open to the public. I have a sensational lineup, 20 speakers, opportunities to ask questions a whole bit. You can find it on my blog at jameshfetzer.org. Check it out. There are only a limited number that are directly available where you can ask the questions. Otherwise, I'm making arrangements for it to be available on a broader basis. Keith, I'm just delighted to have you here. Continue on, my friend.
All right. Let me finish off here so I don't misquote this. This came out, it says that nearly 400 people who were either wounded while serving in the U.S. military in Afghanistan or are family members of the service members who died in the conflict sued a group of companies on Friday, this of course dated a while back, that they say helped fund the attacks against Americans by making protection payments to the Taliban. And this goes on talking about the post 9/11. But anyway, a 288-page complaint was filed in federal court in Washington, D.C., which states that those protection payments aided and abetted in terrorism by directly funding the Al-Qaeda-backed Taliban insurgency that killed and injured thousands of Americans. And this, again, this was from Courthouse News. Now, let's go back to Ronald Reagan, the Mujahideen. Let's go back to Brzezinski with his Warriors of God, as he called them. Let's go back to bin Laden, the Soviet warrior. Let's go back to Biden, who said that the Taliban aren't enemies of the United States. And I think that was on Daily Mail. And then Fox News come out and confirm that the Taliban are not enemies of the United States. And then we have Biden leaving $80 billion worth of military equipment there. Then we have the Taliban in a recent meeting from UAE states that basically they had called for a meeting and the Taliban asked where the military alliance was to go into Gaza, and they withdrew that invitation there, which meant that the Taliban were willing to bring their $80 billion worth of military equipment down into Gaza to fight Israel. But again, America breeds terrorism to keep the whole ball going. If a family member had lost someone allegedly fighting ISIS or Al-Qaeda or the Taliban, you should be outraged. Wouldn't you think that?
Yeah, of course. And by the fact that the U.S. created ISIS in 2012, when John Brennan was CIA director, Hillary Clinton secretary of state, Barack Obama president, over the opposition of Michael Flynn, who was then the director of the National Intelligence, Defense Intelligence Agency, where Brennan was so pissed off that Flynn was opposing, he suggested to Obama he ought to fire him, which he obligingly did. And because Flynn was so smart and knew where the bodies were buried, when Trump made him his national security advisor, they had to tarnish him. They had to get him out of there because they were going to attempt to play Trump. And to a certain extent, they were successful. But Trump was a non-interventionist, and yes, he made mistakes, and certainly the assassination of Soleimani is prominent among them, but he kept us out of wars, and I believe had he remained in office, as he deserved to do, that the whole situation with Ukraine on the one hand and Israel and Hamas on the other would not have come to pass as they have unfolded. Keith.
Yeah, I agree on that, Jim. What we do see here is, it's like when Obama had removed the so-called propaganda, what they call the Smith-Bundt Act, where the government could lie, basically lie to America. You know, the problem is those to predispose that that the government would lie to you would actually have to ask the question: would they have the capacity to tell the truth in the first place? All these wars, going clear back to at least Japan, at least that I know of, can all be tracked right back to these false flag things, whether it's Hawaii. I have that article there from that Captain Eric Naive, who was a Japanese code breaker who broke the Imperial Japanese Code in 39. Of course, at the same time, they broke the Enigma machines in Germany. They've been listening to all this stuff. We have the sinking of the Spanish Main. All this stuff has all been based on lies. And I thought it was kind of interesting, Jim. I found a video that was about copper down in Chile, and they were interviewing a guy who was about 70-some-odd years old. He was now retired from the mining there, but his father worked in the mining back in the 30s. And he commented how his father had always remarked about the amount of copper that the United States was sucking out of those mines in Chile in the, I'll just say, mid-30s. And his father told him at the time that the U.S. was getting ready to replace its naval fleet, and they're going to need miles and miles of copper cable for all their brand new ships. So those old World War One naval vessels and stuff were slated to be fixed, and of course that's why we had the four aircraft carriers moved to Midway. They did all this stuff, and then we have Roosevelt there with his, and this is no different than Ukraine, by the way, where we had the Lend-Lease Act. There was a Lend-Lease Act with Russia that the United States, or the Soviet Union, I should say, that the United States forgave that debt. But we had the Lend-Lease Act with Britain, which supplied all those arms. We have the Lend-Lease Act with Ukraine. And, of course, had the Ukraine. I have that article up on my website there. But it's about everything that's underneath Ukraine, all the minerals, all the stuff, the soil, so the best soil in the world, even Doug McGregor has commented about it. It's like 20 some odd feet deep of this just black, rich soil, and why they call it the breadbasket of the world over there. You know, same thing with Russia, of course. But what gets me out of this entire thing, regardless of whether it's Iraq, Syria, Libya, like that, who gives the United States the right to say that Russia's a large gas station, it needs to be broken up, China needs to be broken up into four different little more centric type countries? Who is the U.S. to sit there and try to subdivide all these countries? And, of course, the main thing is to steal their resources. Who is a U.S. to say, you know, to even think that, you know?
Yes. You're absolutely right.
And I have some other notes here. I got to bring one up here. this is for the American consumers. First of all, let me go back to what you on your immigration thing. You know, when Obama was in office, I think it was 2010, right around that area there, Obama had all these big striker vehicles down there in Mexico, and all these, you know, young, handsome Hispanic boys were crawling all over them. And they were being offered a path to citizenship. If they joined the military, the U.S. would move their families to the United States, and basically they would work off their citizenship by joining the military. And every time I see this, it's always like, oh, that's great. Now they got people of the third world waging war on people of the third world. I mean, it's like Edward Bernays, you know. If you control the media, you can sell 100% pure human feces on a popsicle stick for the consumer to repeatedly lick. Just say it's naturally grown or something like that, you know. But this is where we're at here. All this stuff that goes on and on that no one ever understands what's going on here. And it's like this Guyana thing. You know, this is the old Jim Jones, the Democrats' favorite politician, you know. Remember, he was first infatuated with the Nazis, and then he switched over to the Communist Party in 52 there. And, of course, one of his things, he says, how can I demonstrate my Marxism? The thought was infiltrate the church, you know. But this is all back to this G-oil politics, you know. Wherever you find out, as a matter of fact, even ex-CIA John Stockwell has commented about what the CIA's role was down in Guyana there, you know. But I don't see how people can't see this. I guess they're too distracted with the daily events of probably trying to hold a job or keep a job, find gas that's not, you know, too expensive. And the other thing is, you notice gas prices are dropping. How is that happening here with all these Middle Eastern countries slowing down their production? Of course, the U.S. is going out towards Venezuela and stuff like that. And if they blow up Iran's oil and stuff, what are they going to do? Will the Democrats risk shoving gasoline to $15 a gallon or something like that to start this Middle Eastern war? And we already know that the U.S. ships and other tankers and stuff are all getting attacked over there just outside Yemen and stuff, you know. But are they willing to risk a world war to rescue this failing U.S. dollar?
Well, I don't think the U.S. dollar can be saved. I think what we need is a jubilee, you know, just forgive all the indebtedness, including the trillions upon trillions owed to the Federal Reserve for printing our currency. Jack had the right idea by having the Department of the Treasury print United States notes on the ground that it was absurd to pay interest to a consortium of private banks to publish the currency of the United States, which it could be done just as well by the Department of Treasury for no interest at all, where most of our national debt is compound interest, interest paid on interest to the Fed. It doesn't represent, in my opinion, a legitimate claim of indebtedness, and it ought to just be abolished, forgiven at a single stroke.
Okay, well, I got some serious humor for you then. This morning on Telegram, a petition had surfaced. A Ukrainian online petition calling for the forced mobilization of politicians has gained more than 25,000 signatures in the first 72 hours. Why don't we do that here in America? That all these politicians that want war, why don't we do a forced mobilization of those guys so that they go fight these wars?
Yes. Yes, very appropriate. I agree. Let the warmongers serve in the front lines of combat.
Yeah, Lindsey Graham was in wasn't he a trainer of some sort in Afghanistan at one time?
Lindsey is such a joke. I'm just embarrassed he's in the United States Senate. It's frankly shocking to me, but there it is.
Well, you've seen all the photos of him and John McCain with the Al-Qaeda and ISIS leaders.
Sure, of course, there. Yeah.
You've seen him over in Ukraine talking about, and the same thing about, you know, a dead Russian is worth it, you know. I mean,
yeah.
You remember Kennedy's executive orders about no one in the government should call for the assassination of anyone like that, you know. But it's like the U.S. does not even abide by its own rule of law, yet they want everyone else to go by its rule of law.
Of course.
And then we have the ICC. If you look up U.S. war crimes, you'll see that the United States exempts itself from the ICC courts. But if you're black or something like that down in Africa, and stuff like that, you're the first one to be brought before the court. Remember when Nikki Haley was there before the UN, and there was a vote against Israel. She stormed out of the room, and then she came back in, and she knelt down beside everyone, probably giving them a threat about what the United States was going to do to them economically through the IMF and stuff like that, you know. We have Mike Pompeo, who brags about lying, cheating, and stealing as his tenure at the CIA, which is like George Hunter White saying, it was fun. Where else can a red-blooded American boy lie, cheat, kill, and steal, you know, with the blessings of the, you know. I mean,
and this is why. And be paid for it.
Yeah, well, yeah. But this is why this country is hated. It's just like in Iran. People don't burn the U.S. flag and chant death to America because the Iranians can't turn queer and have sex with each other. It's because of what the U.S. and CIA has done to their countries for decades, longer than I've been alive. Continue, again, happy birthday to you, by the way.
Yes. Keith, we can also invite callers early. You have so much to say. Let me just open the lines, too, already. Keith was going to continue to discuss these issues, but you're welcome to join us. 540-352-4452. Mitchell will take your call and get you on the air with us, with Keith Rogers and Jim Fetzer. 540-352-4452. We're open to discussing all of these issues and others as well. Whether it's talking about the mass migration and the weaponization of our own armed forces against citizens of the United States, or the horrific slaughter of civilians taking place in Palestine today, or any of these other issues, we welcome your calls. Keith, continue.
All right, yeah. You know, I was kind of laughing earlier there about the corruption in this country, especially towards banking. You remember the old commercials on TV, E.F. Hutton? When E.F. Hutton talks, everyone listens. And then I was reading up on E.F. Hutton there about how many banking scandals of check kiting and stuff like that they were involved in. They are even involved in the Lehman Brothers like that. Now they've rebranded themselves, but they couldn't even get SEC clearance and stuff. I mean, this has gone on and on where they've laundered hundreds of millions of dollars writing checks to themselves to cover themselves and stuff like that. And this went across like 200-some-odd banks, or not, was 100-some-odd banks in America, you know. But this is no different than what you see clear across the world here. All these bankers, they do all these massive crimes, whether it's Citibank, the mortgage fraud in 2008, 2009, the bank collapse, the Silicon Valley Bank. None of these guys ever go to jail. And all they do is they raise their banking fees to cover for their fines and stuff. It's like a parking ticket on a Brinks robbery truck, you know.
Keith, we got a first caller who himself has a lot to say. Paul, no longer from California, from Nevada, join the conversation. Paul.
Yeah, this is a really good guest. I've just appreciated so far. I know that he's been on, I think, once or twice before, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And he said something. And by the way, Keith, I think we know that they're never going to go to jail.
No, I know that.
Doesn't mean that they that doesn't mean they can't go to the gallows or the guillotine, which is where they belong. But you said something about I think it was related to a lawsuit that was filed, where you said that U.S. corporations were paying the Taliban to keep American soldiers away from their operations of their assets in Afghanistan. And
courthouse.
This is absolutely fascinating. You want to flesh that out a little bit more? I'm trying to wrap my mind around this right now.
Let me draw that article back up again here.
Right. So, like, for example, which particular corporations and what sort of assets
you'd have to read the article there, but it was a 288-page complaint filed in federal court. And those protection payments aided and abetted terrorism by directly funding the Al-Qaeda-backed Taliban insurgency that killed and injured thousands of Americans. And I think the title of the article was U.S. Contractors Accused of Funding Taliban Attacks Against American Troops.
Who was bringing the action?
It was 400 family members and or survivors.
Interesting. So, in other words, people that were killed. Okay, so the... the family members of soldiers or other Americans that were killed in Afghanistan are bringing this action.
You know what gets me, Paul, is that I don't know if there's 1 in 100,000 Americans that have read the Geneva Accords. I don't know if there's 1 in 200,000 that have read the Pentagon Papers. I don't know if there's 1 in 500,000 that have read the Afghan Papers. I don't know if anyone's read the Church Report or the Pike Report and stuff like that to see exactly what's been going on in this country for decades. And then you wonder why we get to a point like this, like, wow, you know. Or there's archive.org, all those declassified CIA files that I've got so many on my computer and stuff like that where I've read and read and read. I go, God, you work into a pattern here and you realize this is the same thing. It's just that they changed the country.
You know, it's funny that you say so. Most of those things you mentioned, I'm aware of. Of course, I haven't read them. But yeah, you're exactly correct about people don't read, they don't think. Let's face it, you know, they go to work every day, they come home, they flip the TV on, and they eat soybean oil for dinner. It's just, you know.
Well, here's one for you, Paul. What was the first one I mentioned? God, it slipped my mind. The Geneva Accords. Had people right, read that, they'd see that the entire Vietnam War was a total fraud because the United States had violated everything in the Geneva Accords. However, they also violated everything in CENTCO, which also turned into the Baghdad Pact. And this is where this so-called policing action, where it gave the United States like a week or something like that to go in there to basically calm things down, but had to leave. And this gets into George Bush there, Jr., where right before he left office, he signed the SOFA agreement. And that was to get U.S. troops out. And the reason why the Iraq wanted the U.S. troops out is because of the war crimes they were committing, the rapes and stuff like that, you know, shooting Iraqi women, digging their bullets out of them, raping Iraqi boys, no different than their U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan, cutting the fingers off of dead Afghan women and keeping the fingers for trophies. But anyway, Iraq wanted this SOFA agreement that if they were going to leave these so-called stay-behind forces, quote, that they could charge him with war crimes, and the U.S. wouldn't go for that. So they formed this SOFA agreement, and it took Obama till 2011, December 31, 2011, to finally enact that, and that was the so-called pullout. But again, the U.S. is still in Iraq, and now they're in Syria stealing oil. You know?
and you know what it just points to, what I couldn't help but think, by the way, there was about a 10-minute or so period in the half-hour preceding this one. I think it was between about 35:40 before the hour until about 45:50 before the hour when you went on this nice little tirade, and there was just so many what I call good summations and, you know, talking points. It just brings to mind, first of all, to your statement about how many people have read these things, the first thing that I want to say is, well, would it do them any good to read them, right? In other words, that we're all essentially watching a horrible stage play because these evil bastards have been in power for far too long. You know, part of me wants to wonder, do you get super, super rich and in positions of power because you're sociopathic and evil, or are they the only ones that they allow in the club, you know? I mean, because there's people that are wealthy, but then there's the kind of, you know, it's this notion that, oh, there's all this debt. We have all this debt. The economy's crashing. And yet there's plenty of money for all this shenanigans all over the world. It reminds me of a pamphlet or a booklet I read back in the 80s when I was first getting acquainted with our phony money system, right, which is mainly what prompted me to stop paying federal income tax. Right. In other words, it's not just have people read anything, but do they know anything? And do they have the balls and the moral courage to act on their knowledge and their beliefs? I mean, I stopped filing a federal income tax return back in the late 70s because of a couple of things. The main one was a book called The Biggest Con by Erwin Schiff, where he sort of unmasked the fraud of the United States government, the taxing system, and the fraud of our money. And then, of course, in the early 80s, I discovered, you know, that the Federal Reserve, you know, what it was all about. So I've read in that period of time maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 different books, booklets, pamphlets on, you know, what this was all about, and that was enough for me. But of course, the world just goes on. So what I started to reference was this booklet talking about the debt money system and how they they did the compare and contrast and said, well, the Great Depression, you know, you had people, you know, didn't have jobs and they were waiting in line for a bowl of soup and, you know, a piece of bread. And yet there was plenty of money for bombs and bullets and ships and guns to send overseas for free, right? And it just reminds me of a statement I made before about the fact that if they wanted this land, if they wanted these minerals, if they wanted this oil, you know, they could just pay people to move. You know, they could help them out instead. But, you know, the money that they're spending on the military and weapons and defense contractors and congressmen and senators probably getting rich with graft, you know, kickbacks, bribes, all that money could be used to provide these people a viable life. And if they didn't want them in a particular location because they wanted to drill for oil, they could just say, hey, listen, we're going to drill for oil here, so let us offer you this much. So in other words, clearly the world is run by, as the Germans, as the National Socialists knew so well, international Jewish finance capitalism. And when you read the works, when you read what they wrote, and it wasn't just, of course, Hitler, but it was many other people that wrote about this at the time, this is the problem. I mean, yeah, for God's sake, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, that's right. That's where people don't understand, like the German miracle. Everything was based on labor. National socialism is quite a bit different than communist socialism. All through Latin America, if you remember George Shultz there, when Somoza took $100 million and fled from Nicaragua there, you know, they turned that entire country around. They built 1,000 schools. They increased their farm production over 100% like that. They did away with the death penalty and everything. I mean, this is the National Socialism, kind of like what you saw over in Libya with what Gaddafi was doing, offering free land and stuff like that by selling the country's oil. I always think of when I grew up there about this land is your land, this land is mine. You got to pay for everything in this country, you know. There's nothing free, you know. I can't even hunt with these Indian boys around here or go fishing there because it's racist, you know.
Hey, we'll be right back. We'll be right back, and when we do, we'll bring in the mechanic who's been patiently standing by. Right back with Keith Richards and Paul from Nevada, the mechanic,
Rogers.
Will join us.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen, with host Zen Garcia. at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Paul, your comments have been simply excellent today. I'm very, very happy with your conversation. We got the mechanic standing by. Mechanic, join the conversation.
Yeah, I'm always appreciative when I get brought into one of these shows. Fetzer, as a young man, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, living down in San Diego, watching the influx of immigration come in, listening to your show, experiencing all the other drama that's going on, and then we fast forward to here we are today. I'm living on the border of Nevada, probably going to be in Nevada sometime soon. I think we need to develop as a country because we've gone backwards rather than going forward, right? We've gone backwards with our reaction to invasion, and it's become so placated that we put these woke people in charge, and there's just a bunch of, feeling. It's just a feeling. Everything's based on feeling. What we need to do is have an attitude. We all need to have an attitude problem now. Everybody needs to be hostile. A little bit of hostility would go a long ways in this country right now, Jim. Honestly, if we were to take a position and start rejecting all of these narratives, you got the immigration, you got the drug problems coming into this country, and then you take a look at how they treat whistleblowers. You got enough talk. There's not enough talk on the whistleblowers that are going on. Specifically, this latest one in New Zealand. This guy is the only one in New Zealand, apparently, with access to this data. He lets the data out, gives a total briefing of the data. 24 hours later, house surrounded, he's arrested. They want to put him in jail for 7 years, and they erase the data. Here's the facts. Here's the stats that came from it. Real easy. 20% of the entire vaccinated population is dead.
Yes.
We don't even know what the numbers are here in the United States. We need to be hostile, folks. We need to be – I'm not talking about hostility leading to violence. I'm talking about your demeanor with public officials, your demeanor with people who oppressed you, a hostile nature is what needs to be felt in the American population. Where are we going? We got to defend ourselves somehow. We still have the Constitution. We still have these Bill of Rights. We still have members of Congress that see some of the problems that we have here. This kind of new attitude, if you can hear me, Jim, go ahead. This attitude, I think we need to reinvent. An attitude of confidence and power, really. That's how we take it back. Noncompliance and a new attitude.
Good stuff, Mechanic. Good stuff. Keith, your thoughts, then Paul.
Yeah, well, I have, well, believe me, I have, I have my server. I have sent so many sheriff's offices, government, stuff like that, all this information. They're not interested. And the only reason why I can think of is that. is that they're, well, I think their departments, because they killed the economy, that they depend on this CARES 2 money to support everything. You know, it gives them the sheriff's office and stuff. I live here in Montana here, and a friend asked me to help him out there, and I installed two brand new radios and two brand new morgue vehicles in our small little county. So now we have three morgue units in our small county. That tells you something's going on, doesn't it?
These sheriffs have really failed the people. They've taken these oaths, and by their actions, you would think, honestly, that they had an oath to someone else. It's like our politicians. They have an oath to something else. It isn't us.
Yeah, Bill Cooper would say, yeah, you took an oath, but did you read the Constitution?
Yeah. I mean, Katie Hobbs laughing as she took the oath. Katie Hobbs in Arizona, governor, she took as she was taking her oath, she was laughing.
Yeah.
Right as they said the word Constitution, she laughed out loud like it's some kind of joke to these people.
Well, you remember they took when they swear an oath, like ain't even in a courtroom anymore. They've taken the Bible out of there. They just say, "Do you, you know, swear to tell the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth?" They don't even say "So help you God" anymore, which I know Jim doesn't care about. But the fact is there's nothing legally binding to them morally to oblige them to do anything. You know.
Yeah. Right. There's no. Go ahead.
I think the traditional oath is just fine. I don't have a problem. You know, it's a way of affirming the solemnity of the situation. Paul, go ahead and add a few thoughts, Paul.
Yeah, as far as this idea about we need to be hostile, hey, you know, I second that. I think that Jim has detected a little bit of anger in my voice over the years, although I'm kind of softening. But yeah, I've always been of the mindset that one of the reasons I'm kind of pissed off is because other people don't seem to be very pissed off. You know, the notion that a sheriff, local or not, or some politician is going to do anything for us, I think is misguided and naive because they don't have any real power against these international corporations controlled by these international, you know, Jewish conglomerates, right? There's an international banking, international oil, international chemical, international pharmaceutical cartels. I remember reading a book in the 80s. In fact, I think it was Eustace Mullins' book, if I'm not mistaken, Secrets of the Federal Reserve, where he had this flow chart where it showed all the interlocking boards of directorates. And then on another page, he showed the intermarriages between these people. So there is a consolidated world government right now. I think COVID made that clear. They got these leaders of other nations to basically all march in lockstep and do the same thing.
Did you watch
the world.
COP 28 last night? Did you watch COP 28 over the last couple of days?
No.
Did you watch it? Because I think your view would be slightly altered by saying all these leaders are on board with all the agendas. Something very significant happened at the COP 28. You had the president, and I'm not even going to bother trying to pronounce this guy's name. He speaks pretty good English. And the president delivers his opening speeches to this thing, still questioning the science. I have yet to see the science that shows fossil fuels need to be banned and that we need to replace it with this whole new green pack. I don't see it. This is me paraphrasing.
Yeah.
But this president of COP 28 is not on board.
Are you familiar
what is COP 28? What is COP 28? I've never heard this before.
Oh, it's a conference on the green agenda in Europe, Paul, and the head of it has been rejecting the idea that there's sufficient science to justify banning fossil fuels. It's really created quite a commotion because what he's saying is absolutely right. It's a huge scam.
Well, if anyone remembers Event 201, all you got to do is Google and download the documentary or the PDF file called Weather as a Force Multiplier. It's based on the same presumption as Event 201, all hypothetical, but it's on controlling the entire weather. So what they do is they use HAARP and other stuff like that to create these massive storms. I've always laughed about this because in the cities and stuff, when you got all this rainwater and cars going down, well, what's going to happen when you pave over the land with concrete and asphalt for miles and put buildings in between and stuff? The water's got to go somewhere, you know? And they always show this in cities. They don't show it out in the countries and stuff where the water absorbs into the ground, you know. It's just, you know, and of course the sewage systems can't handle it. And there's where you get your flooding.
Does anybody know?
Go ahead, mechanic. Yeah.
Does anybody know here what the actual parts per million number? Because I do. The parts per million number
is 0.04 something
in the atmosphere.
Yeah, it's 0.04 something.
Yeah, it's 0.04. Of that 0.04%, 0.011%, I believe, is the amount contributed by human CO2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I want to get a clip in here. Jim, I want to set this up first. You remember the Cuban refugees that always float up into the United States here, into Florida and stuff? They call it something like a one-foot policy or something like that?
Yes.
Right.
That once they get their foot on the soil, then they can legally be here or something like that?
Yes.
Anyway, if you'll play that clip, you'll see why you have immigration from Cuba, but also why it's so nefarious about how the United States destroys countries. So if you could play that clip, it's about four and a half minutes.
It's 4 minutes. Here we go.
Okay.
Got Milk is the title.
Yeah.
Your friendly spy on campus. The excitement initially came when I was offered the job and told that I was very special, and that played to my patriotism, my ego, my manhood, the whole thing.
It was 30 years ago, almost this month, that I was a senior on the Iowa State University campus, ready to get my aerospace engineering degree, and wondering what I was going to do in light of the nation's deepening involvement in the quagmire of Vietnam.
There were anti-war demonstrations on college campuses and in cities from Los Angeles to Washington. Draft card burnings became common, and the chant of, "Hell no, we won't go," was the theme of the protest generation.
It was then that the CIA appeared on campus, and they began their largest illegal domestic operation in history called Chaos. The FBI and Hoover thought U.S. college student demonstration against the Vietnam War was being manipulated and funded from abroad. President Johnson didn't believe it, so he actually authorized the CIA to start an illegal covert operation inside the country. And I became the eyes and ears of the CIA on the Iowa State University campus.
Iowa State University. The opportunities are here.
I initiated files on students of my own interest, even without the CIA's knowledge. There was this young lady who caught my eye on campus, and I tried to date her, and she refused. So I initiated a file on her, and that was personally for my own benefit.
I did that for my senior year, and on graduation, I thought my responsibilities at the agency would end when I went to work for McDonnell Douglas in St. Louis. But it didn't work out that way, and eventually I was assigned to Canada, posing as an anti-Vietnam War engineer. Now, the agency knew that Fidel had gone around the island and built all these small dams. He actually wanted two growing seasons a year. He needed somebody to seed the clouds so it would rain and he could store the water. And that's where my expertise was, having been an amateur rocketeer and an aerospace engineer and all of this good stuff. The Cubans were duped into believing the credentials I presented. There really was no other option of getting an American down there. After the October crisis of 1962, Kennedy said that we would never physically invade the island if Khrushchev would remove the ballistic missiles. So therefore, the United States was frozen into a policy of trying to bring Castro down from within, which meant disrupting the average lifestyle of the Cuban citizen, doing whatever we could to sabotage the economy, to discredit the revolution. One way of doing that, of course, was to try to control the amount of food coming into Havana for distribution to the public. And if we could do that by puncturing tires on a truck loaded with tomatoes for the market, or if we could cause a truckload of whatever, onions or fresh fruit or meat to become putrid or be stolen or contaminated on the way into town, we would do that. And I remember one particular instance a brand new secondary school that had opened up in the countryside was going to receive its week's supply of fresh milk. And we bribed the driver of the truck. We knew where he stopped to have breakfast on his route. We wanted him to take a few extra minutes so we could put cement powder into the milk. We declared war on school children. That shouldn't be the policy of the United States government. You don't win friends and influence people that way, declaring war on children and innocent civilians.
The policy of Jews.
U.S. Yeah. government orders it and participates in it.
Well,
and the
CIA's
goal eventually was to increase the frustration level to
that's enough.
A point where...
Yeah, the point is, though, this is why we have immigration, is because the CIA goes down into all these third world countries, they assassinate leaders, they destroy their economies, they destroy their the working conditions, as I mentioned earlier with Colombia, Honduras, all these guys, they destroy them, and then, of course, these immigrants have no place to go except north to where they can make money.
Right. So, Keith, I'm just going to jump in here. So I'm assuming you're probably around – you're Jim's generation, if I'm not mistaken.
A little bit. Right, I'm 20 years younger.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Seriously? Oh, okay. You sounded so seasoned and so mature. Well, anyway, what I was going to say, and I'm sure Jim will resonate with this and probably Mechanic as well, what we didn't know then, okay, but we know now, is this is all part of a long-term agenda by these Jews, basically, to genocide white people. See, what I didn't know when I was growing up, I went to high school in the 70s and college in the late 70s and early 80s, so right on the heels of the Vietnam War was just ending when I was getting out of high school. And so, but what we didn't know then, you know, all the turmoil, all the protest, you know, the anti-war movement, so on and so forth, you know, it's all just part and parcel of this long-term play that they're running. And now we can clearly see. Now it's out in the open. Now, a lot of people don't know it's quote, white genocide. But, of course, the world now knows it's the Jews. And there's no putting the cap back on that bottle. And, Jim, I'm assuming you read that article that Michael Ivey shared that Andrew Anglin wrote that was on UN's review. And that was just an excellent framing of the sort of awareness now that people have about, you know, the no longer is the propaganda of these Jews going to work anymore.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, I think it's
imperative. This is interesting. I've got a listener saying as soon as the Mechanic started speaking that the air went dead. I hope that's not the case. We got it all here on the recording, but go ahead. Keith.
All right. Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, the nefarious portion behind this, again, is, you know, you can drive by any middle city or whatever like that, basketball court, and you'll see blacks, whites, Hispanics, Koreans, whatever like that, all playing basketball. You can go by any concert and stuff like that. There'll be blacks, whites, whatever like that, watching football games. You can go to any music festival like that. There's people all over. Hell, I remember growing up listening to Charlie Pride and all these guys like that, you know. The point is, though, is this government is the one that creates the hate. You know, it's either the evil Muslims, the evil Russians, the list goes on. And I mentioned a few of the slangs on Twitter there, and I docked my account there for 24 hours for using hateful speech. I was just quoting what was done, you know. This is like in the movie Destination Tokyo, where Cary Grant is describing after Mike, the seaman, gets stabbed by a Jap, and they have funeral services. And he's down below deck after the funeral services. He says, well, you know how them Japs are. At five, they're playing with a samurai sword. They can put a rifle together and by 12 or something like that. And he goes on like that about how bad the Japs are and stuff like that. And then I thought, geez, growing up, I had G.I. Joes, little green army men. Today, it's diapers with camo. I mean, we're built into a militaristic society, and all these kids are playing Call of Duty and all these other war games and stuff. I mean, it's a lie.
Yeah, and there's no stopping it until the people in power are removed, and that's just not going to happen until, like Mechanic said earlier, there's enough hostility, enough pissed off people that are tired of this. It just I'm reminded of you know what I call the Leo Frank treatment. Okay, the local people didn't wait around and ask permission for the sheriff to do what they did to Leo Frank. And I'm also reminded of one of many William Luther Pierce's great speeches, where he talked about the fact that, you know, he could tell that in many ways the American population was completely neutered, because there hadn't been any political assassinations, or what he called a wave of political assassinations, as a result of any number of egregious, you know, revelations of malfeasance and misconduct and treason that had already occurred in his lifetime. And yeah. I just thought that was a very interesting comment by him.
Yeah, there's another thing. We have one of the biggest tools in our lifetime. Most of us carry one around. It's called a cell phone with an SD card. Most people can tether their computers to their cell phones, and they can download videos into their own directory on their SD card. And when you're out, you don't have to worry about a Wi-Fi connection to connect to some server or something like that. You can put all these videos on your phone and show people, like law enforcement and stuff like that, exactly what's going on. I have that BBC recording. It's 38 seconds long. I could have Jim play it if you want to hear it. But anyway, it openly admits that the one of the spike proteins that they're using is the HIV virus. And this is right on BBC. And then you have the Lancet report with Jeffrey Sachs that talks about this cleavage site. Well, that's where they added it, you know. And now you see even the WEF is saying there's a sudden rise in autoimmune diseases, you know. And, of course, this can all be blamed on the lifestyle, especially since they're pushing the LGBT agenda. And they're sanctioning countries, not giving them foreign aid and stuff because they won't accept the LGBT. Is this what? So the U.S. can run up a LGBT pride flag at the embassy? No, this is
They got told to pound sand. Uruguay told them to pound sand.
Right.
These other countries told them to pound sand. Then what they want to do is they want to sanction nations who ban LGBTQ propaganda.
Yeah,
but if you're
injecting people with AIDS, then that's a perfect cover for people getting AIDS. You can say, well, it's their lifestyle.
It's their lifestyle. Well, LGBTQ movement, the woke movement, all of these really absurd, principled ideologies that are floating around the United States, they're nothing new. They're nothing new. The fact that we can look at old black and white film of Hitler making speeches with zero subtitles. They don't want us to know what he was talking about. They
right.
don't want us to know
yeah.
what he was concerned
yeah.
with. And here's the things he was concerned with. The Bolshevik caused and ran demoralization of a nation is what took place in Hitler's Germany before World War II. And what he went through is happening here in the United States right now.
Way worse. And of course, you know, I'm not breaking any news to say that all of this promotion of feminism, promotion of gay lifestyle, promotion of transgender. This is all designed to reduce the reproduction rate. This is all
That's
designed
right.
all
roads
to reduce
lead to depopulation.
Our birth rate.
Yep.
Yeah.
I agree 100%.
I mean, now these kids that are going through this crap, you know, supposedly there's a survey that showed that now it's up to 20% of college entrance age kids are saying that they identify as something other than binary. And I don't know if I trust that statistic, but just think how messed up that is. And think how that's going to affect the idea that they would get married maybe and have children. It's just crazy.
One of my laughs is the where these transgenders have these penises made and stuff, and they take off all their thigh tissue and stuff. And I'm thinking, you know, long term is like, imagine getting in and dressed in front of someone to have sex with you, and they go, what the hell happened to you?
It's not really funny, but it is, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, 40% commit suicide too.
Oh,
they live on antidepressants and all this stuff because they're not socially accepted and stuff like that. But you know, I'm not pushing that agenda.
The real suicide rate.
Last night, go ahead.
The real suicide rate comes post hormonal
right.
additive. That's where the suicide rate comes from. It's not the other way around like they try to tell us. If you don't go through the transition, if you don't allow your child to transition, they will commit suicide. It's quite the opposite. It's when they go in to the hormone therapy and then the body keeps changing, but the hormones aren't keeping up, they're 14, 15. Now you just got to cut it off now because now, you know, you're too far gone in the puberty process. The hormones didn't work. So now you just got to cut it off and, you know, tuck
Jim,
it
you
in.
Want to pick up Brian real fast before we have to close out here?
Yeah, I do. Brian, go ahead. Give us your thoughts.
What I wanted to bring up was the fact that there was a tranny clinic in Weimar, Germany. It opened in 1919 by a Jewish individual named Hirschfeld. And one of the first things Hitler did when he took power was burn it to the ground.
Have any of you guys watched Gore's Guide to the World History? It's on archive.org.
No, that sounds good.
It's Going Guide to World History. It's from E. Michael Jones. He became ADL enemy number one after that came out there. But it's everything about what has gone to where these fake Jews, since they won't assimilate into society, they have to change the society to fit them.
Mechanic, you want to add a further word here before we got to conclude?
Yeah, we have no obligation to comply with substandard ideologies. And that's what these are. They're less than substandard. These are the type of ideologies that lead nations to complete imploding. And we need to avoid this with extreme prejudice. If you have kids in school, you need to find a way. You need to sacrifice everything. Not that you haven't already, but you need to start homeschooling. They're looking at better private schools. I mean, just prepare. They're being indoctrinated, and this LGBTQ will swallow them up when given the opportunity. They don't care. They don't care. They're incentivized to wreck the family.
Yep.
Well, not only that. Thanks for having us. A good point that you're making here is, unfortunately, a lot of these kids, you can see it on the videos and stuff. They really do embrace this. They actually have bought into it because they're just too young to know any different.
Yep. Keith, Paul, Mechanic, and Brian, I want to thank you all for participating today. Great job. We've hit the break. Spend as much time as you can with your friend, family, the people you care and love about. We do not know how much time we have left.
Thanks. See you, Jim.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at...